Welcome to my Soul Series. Soul Series is part of Oprah and Friends, exclusively on XM Radio Channel 156. And you can listen to the entire Soul Series collection on xmradio.com/Oprah.
Hazen McLeod's book, I think you'll agree, has a rather audacious title, The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. How, after all, I thought, can a man who I've never met know what life my soul intended for me? Gotta tell you, the answer to that question, whatever it may be, was enough to pique my interest. And I do believe, of course, that there are old souls and young souls living amongst us. And much of what he has to say about soul ages and soul types resonates with me, but I'm not quite sure. So this should be interesting.
It's uplifting, enlightening, truly powerful. Welcome to Soul Series.
Here we are, sitting on the radio. Welcome to my Soul Series. It's my weekly opportunity to do what I love doing better than anything, talking about the things that matter most to me. And what matters most for me is the spiritual journey, my own personal one, and helping people to see their path more clearly as they venture into their own personal journeys, which I think is the greatest adventure of our lives, really. For a lot of people, that is the process of their life's journey, trying to figure that out. I feel very fortunate in that early on in life, I was pretty much on course with what my purpose was because I understood how to listen to a power that is greater than myself, and lots of people call it lots of different things, but I could really had an intuitive voice that I responded to since I was a child and allowed myself to be directed by that voice to the point of being where I am today, literally sitting in this chair because I've listened to the voices in my own life. Some people don't know how to do that as well as other people, and so they need a little more help. Today, I would like to introduce you to a fellow spiritual seeker. Was that how you would call yourself?
Absolutely.
Who has created an instruction guide that is literally called The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. It's a guide to help you translate your own soul's code. Ainsley McLeod has used his talents as a psychic, yes, to explore the soul and its effects on human beliefs and behaviors. And his new book, called, again, The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, suggests that there are metaphoric doors through which we all must pass in order to decode our soul and ultimately achieve our enlightenment. So, a psychic, how do you get to be one?
Oh, gee. Well, I was psychic from the beginning, you know, from birth, but I just didn't recognize it. In fact, I covered it up for a very long time.
When did you first know? What's your first inkling?
Well, you know, I really knew for sure about 10 years ago, and that was really when I started on my path. But looking back, then I could see things that happened when I was younger.
Like?
I saw a ghost when I was 16, mm-hmm. In the public library. And
what did it look like?
He looked like Humphrey Bogart, but he had with a hat down over his face. And his face was just kind of like hidden, like mm-hmm. a little shimmery. And he asked me for a light, and I leaned into my jacket looking for matches, and the next thing he'd gone. But I never thought it was a psychic experience. I just thought, darn, that was weird. You know, I was just...
Was it like in the form of a person or in the form of a mystical figure?
No, it just looked like a real person, but with a very sort of fuzzy face. And it was just over so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was only years later, when I started working as a psychic and figuring out how to use my ability, that I use spirit guides on the other side that work with me, and they said, do you remember that time when you were 16 in the library and you saw that ghost? And it seemed pretty insignificant back then. I could barely remember it. But it just was one of many experiences that I found just disturbing, unsettling. Like,
well, at that time you found it disturbing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm talking to Ainsley McLeod, author of The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, who just told me, as though he were talking about, I went to the store, I bought some oranges, and the bananas were not quite as ripe, and there was a ghost standing right there, and he asked me for a light, and Ainsley, for goodness sakes, I have to tell you,
it all seems perfectly normal now.
Now, if I saw a ghost and the ghost offered, you know, needed a light, I wouldn't be able to speak for another, I don't know.
Maybe if I'd known then it was a ghost, I'd have felt differently.
Okay. I'm wondering, is it a cultural thing or is it a gender thing? Because I know a lot of women who would have went screaming from the room. I know a lot of people who would have said, I'm never going to that library again. What?
It didn't seem frightening, and it's not something I'm not bothered by. That's
how did you know it was a ghost?
Because I found out through working with spirit guides. That otherwise, I probably wouldn't have even remembered the event.
Okay, so I'm going to just, for those of you who are listening to us, I'm going to do what you're doing right now. I'm just going to pretend like that was normal, what you just said. I saw the ghost. Okay. Because we have a lot of ground to cover today. So you saw the ghost at 16. Mm. You weren't sure it was a ghost at the time. Or
right.
Did you didn't call it a ghost.
To me, it wasn't a big deal. It was just a strange thing.
An apparition?
I thought, because he disappeared, I thought maybe I just blanked out for a second.
Imagined it.
It was more than that. Certainly, that person had been there. And the reason, in fact, the reason that entity approached me was that he knew that I would be able to see him. But I never used the word psychic. Nobody ever used it to me. I mean, I never thought. I would know things like sometimes what song was coming on the radio first thing in the morning when when the radio alarm came on. Or I would know what somebody was about to say. So one time I picked up a newspaper and I knew the story. I'd seen it before, like a week before. And my first reaction was, they've reprinted the same story from a week past.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when I realized it wasn't, it was just very, very disturbing. It was kind of like having deja vu experiences, but very much, much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Which is kind of scary anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Of you who are listening, you've had deja vu experiences. It's always weird when it happens.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this feels like this happened before, but it couldn't have happened before, but... Yet I know it feels like it happened, but it's always kind of, what is
if
that?
If you can imagine that with total certainty, that you know you've experienced it before, it's kind of...
Yeah, well, I would say reading a newspaper article that you'd already read, and then the only way you can explain it to yourself is they reprinted the same story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was probably about 9 or 10 when that happened.
Or this is Groundhog's Day. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that kind of experience.
Okay, all right.
And then really, when I got into my adulthood, I just kind of... I covered up the sensitivity, which is part of what you do need to communicate better with the other side.
Covered up the sensitivity.
Yeah. It requires a certain degree of sensitivity to be able to pick up on these things. And so paranormal kind of, whether it's ghosts or communicating with spirit guides like I do, all these
requires
things.
Requires a certain kind of sensitivity.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And I was very, very uncomfortable when I was growing up with that. So I kind of covered that up and started to live a life that was noisy and dramatic and completely shut myself off from that spiritual side of me. And I declared that I was an atheist and I was very cynical and skeptical.
Because you didn't want to be this sensitive,
I didn't want to be that
porous,
person.
Vulnerable person.
No, exactly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And yet, all through that period, I would run into psychics and they would tell me I was psychic.
Really?
And I heard that over and over again. There was one woman I used to go and see in London.
You went to go see her because she was a psychic?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she would look at my palm and she would say to me, "You're psychic, you know." And I would say, "Well, you know, if I was psychic, I wouldn't be paying you. I'd be doing it myself."
Yeah.
You know,
I'm talking to Ainsley MacLeod, author of The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended. And you say when you were going to the psychics, why were you going?
The first time I ever went was somebody had told me about this woman, and I just went to pretty much prove what a crock it was.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came out absolutely stunned by what happened. But this person, pardon me, knew about my life, seemed to know so much about my life that she couldn't possibly have guessed. And that kind of opened my eyes, but not really enough. And it was years before I had a couple of epiphanies that really opened me up to the fact that I really was psychic and that I was supposed to be doing something with it. In fact, I really resisted that for a very long time.
So when you're leading this very loud life and creating a lot of drama in your life, and I don't even believe in God, and you're doing that because you're trying to avoid what your soul's calling really...
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would you go against your soul's calling, Ainsley?
I didn't even know I had a soul.
Okay.
You know? I didn't know it worked like that.
Okay, yeah.
And if I'd had the slightest inkling, I would have probably led a very different life.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't until I really had the opportunity to have some peace and quiet in my life and, as I say, a kind of epiphany, and that it just opened my eyes.
So I started reading your book, The Instruction, and I was really, you know, I read a lot of this kind of material, spiritual material from various authors. And so I've read a lot of material over the past 20, 25 years. I've never read one that really sort of claimed to be an instruction to living the life that your soul intended. So
okay.
I was fascinated by this idea of being able to label for yourself your soul's age, your soul's type, how long your soul has been around.
Your missions, why you're here.
And I couldn't help but think, you know, very happy to have this as a guide, but I couldn't help but think, you know, who died and left you the expert? I couldn't help but think, who are you to know this?
Right.
I mean, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, okay, makes sense, but how do I know that you know?
Right. And that's, you know, the question I always used to ask when I'd read a book like that, too. I mean, the skeptic in me, I still have that. And what happened when
I
started...
Okay, let's start with who died and left you the expert. I thought you would say to me, well, my spirit
my
guides.
My spirit guides, exactly.
Who died and left you the expert?
Yeah. So I started working with spirit guides. I ran into my deceased uncle in a bookstore in Hawaii, and that was one of the major epiphanies, and he wanted to start working with me.
Okay, I'm going to act like that's normal, too. You say that like I say. I got into TV. I started working with producers.
You know, I pretend it's quite normal now.
Okay, you ran into your deceased uncle.
Yeah.
Where?
In a bookstore in on the island of Kauai.
Uh-huh.
And he popped up right beside me momentarily. He was there for a second and very, very clear. And there was a message. It wasn't exactly verbal.
Was he in, like, Casper form?
Yeah, a little more solid than that.
A little more solid than that. Do they come in different forms?
I believe they do.
So it was your uncle? Was he dressed? Did he have clothes on?
Yeah. He was kind of, as he'd been maybe 20 years before, and just very lifelike, big smile on his face. And
standing there in the flesh?
Not exactly flesh, no.
Okay.
Just like, and like I say, it was maybe a second.
Okay.
Maybe not even that. It was very, very fast.
How do you know you weren't hallucinating?
Well, it was never hallucinated as far as I know. I don't know what
maybe,
the difference would
maybe
be.
Maybe when you're hallucinating, yeah, you don't know you're hallucinating.
It was what I do know is that I was in a kind of altered state, that I'd actually had a session with a psychic, and he had come through with a message about me doing this work. And then I'd gone to the bookstore just after
that. And there
that.
Was your dead uncle.
And there was my Uncle John. And,
okay, I'm going to act like that's normal, too. Yeah. Let's move on. What did Uncle John say?
He introduced me. He wanted to work with me and introduce me to guides, spirit guides on the other side.
Your Uncle John did?
Yeah. Now he's acting as a spirit guide.
But let me just say this. When this happens to you, you walk into a bookstore. You're an adult. Mm-hmm. There's your dead Uncle John, as you describe it. Wouldn't that be a little frightening?
It was just more exhilarating.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't at all scary. And I haven't had any experience like that I found frightening.
Frightening, okay.
Only confusing or, in the last 10 years, more, like, exhilarating. Like I say.
Okay, so Uncle John says, Ainsley, how you been?
Yeah. Not even that much. He just said, let's get to work. I mean, he just really was, he was insisting that we started work, that I started talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really how I began working as a psychic. That he helped me to connect, and then through more elevated spirit guides. There are different levels.
Does everybody have spirit guides?
Every single person, even the ones you'd imagine don't, but everybody's got them. Not everyone's aware that you can actually access them or use them.
Can everybody access them?
Everybody can,
mm-hmm.
to a greater or lesser degree.
Why do you have more or less depending on what your soul's purpose is?
More to do with your soul's type.
Yeah.
It's easier, and also your talents. If you have certain talents that you have, a talent for intuition will help.
Will help what?
To connect.
Okay, I'm talking to Ainsley MacLeod, who's author of The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, where he goes into specifics about how you all of you who are listening to me right now can go through this book and determine your soul's age. So you're saying, you are saying that there are many different soul levels here.
Right.
Actually, you say there are 10.
There's 10 of everything in the instruction.
Yeah, I know. I saw 10 of everything, which that's what I question, Ainsley. Why is there only 10?
It's for convenience. I think if there was any more, you could presumably break down any element into further sections, but it would get more and more confusing.
Well, that makes me feel better then, because I'm thinking, well, why are there only 10 levels of everything? Why not? I mean, I would think that there, with as many, with 6 billion people on the planet, that there'd be multiple levels.
Well, actually, if you look at anyone on the planet, you can figure out who they are by looking at their soul's age, their soul type, the influences of two other soul types mm-hmm. on them, their missions. Once you start putting that together, you get a very clear picture of who that person is.
All right, so I'm going to just keep this basic because those of you who are listening, you have to get the book to go through it yourself and figure it out for yourself. But I actually went through it and I figured out mine. I think I've pretty much figured it out. And actually did give me a lot of clarity about it. Really sort of reaffirmed what I knew mm-hmm. more solidly. And I understand that you're going to give me a reading today. Is that true?
I am. Yeah.
So you consulted with your spirit guides.
Right.
Who are going to tell me what soul age I am and what my purpose
That's right.
is and all that. But I think I already know.
I think you already know, too.
Yeah. So if you tell me something that I disagree with, it's okay.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's right. Good. We agreed to disagree.
Exactly.
Okay. So let's just, for the purposes of convenience for the book, have broken mm-hmm. it down into 10 different types. So what's the difference between a soul's, this is in soul levels.
Right. By the way, I didn't break it down. My spirit guides did.
Your spirit guides did.
I am totally disorganized when it comes to that sort of thing.
Okay. They, so you sort of consult with your spirit guides,
right.
you say.
Yeah.
And your spirit guides actually wrote this book or helped you write this book.
I tried to get them to write it, but they wouldn't. They didn't fall for that one.
But you used them to write the book.
I certainly used them to explain the instruction.
Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
So let's go to, where's the chapter on the soul's ages? A word about soul ages. What does it mean, soul ages?
Well, your soul comes into the world looking for experience. It's your soul's purpose, if you like. And your soul's kind of looking for a master's degree, not an evening class. So to really learn about what it is to be on the physical plane, it has to come back time and time again.
Which goes back to that saying of we're human beings having a spiritual experience, right?
Absolutely.
Spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes, we are.
Not human beings having a spiritual experience. So we are spiritual beings mm-hmm. or souls
right.
having a human experience.
Because that's an important thing for souls to have. To learn and to grow.
Okay. Now, according to you, in the instruction, how do the spirit guides communicate with you? I'd like to know, does it come through a voice in your head? Is it a feeling? Do they appear? How many do you have?
Okay. Well, one at a time. How do they communicate? They've communicated to me in different ways since I started doing this. For a while, I was clairvoyant and seeing things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they would communicate in metaphors, give me images that suggested something. And after a while, we pretty much decided that because I was so hopeless at interpreting metaphors, we moved on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And for a little while, it was like getting a ticker tape somewhere just between my eyes. And that then changed into a form that I find it really hard to explain. They call it clairaudience, which would be, hearing something.
Clair what?
Clairaudience.
Clairaudience.
Clairaudience. It's like hearing it, but it's different. It's like getting whole sentences. So if you were having a session with me, sometimes I have to stop and break off and actually really talk to my guides and hear what it is they're giving me, but it's not really audible exactly.
Do they initiate the communications or do you?
I do. Generally, at least now, that I've...
Like you ask us to do at the end of each chapter, do you go into sort of a meditative state and say, Spirit guides, please come and...
I do exactly what's in the book there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I bring them in, work with them, and then send them away again when I'm done.
And I think if you're going to be open to it, I think people who want to open themselves up to this, you have to be open to however they choose to communicate, because it's not just, you know, now we're here.
They come in different ways, you know. Mm-hmm. People will say to me, I'm not hearing my spirit guides, and they're actually yelling at them, but they're coming in at them in different ways. And a lot of it can be with just giving you clarity, just giving you that sense that you're on the right path, or you're getting the right answer, mm-hmm. you know, where you just intuitively know something's right.
Yeah. But isn't life speaking to us all the time? Aren't our spirit guides working with us, for us, around us, even if we're not asking for them to be called in?
Technically, they're really like the emergency rescue team. That you can call them in, you can kind of use them. Your soul is certainly communicating with you all the time. Your soul is the one that knows your life plan, and it's kind of urging you. It's where you get the sense of something being right or wrong.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the soul choose its guide, or do the guides choose us?
The guides and your soul and your guides will choose each other.
Soul and the guides will choose each other. Mm-hmm. Are the guides all dead people?
Yeah.
Are they people who knew you in...
Or at least I'll say almost always. Sometimes you will be... Part of you is on the astral plane and will be guiding or helping someone. It's, like, rare, but it apparently does happen. But generally, you can assume that there are two levels.
Uh-huh.
And one level, the astral level, these are souls like yourself going in and out of life on the physical plane. Mm-hmm. And when they're over there...
Where is the astral plane, according to you?
Well, it's the nearest non-physical world to us.
And okay. Are there different planes?
Yes, there are. And the spirit guides that I work with most of the time, they're on what's called the causal plane, which mm-hmm. is one step removed from that.
One step removed from astral.
Yes.
Okay.
And these are souls who are not going to come back. They're not in between lives. They've completed all their lives. And they're on that level simply to act as guides for us.
So do you... the information that you say you receive from your spirit guides that caused you to write this book, The Instruction, Living the Life Your Soul Intended, believe that there are continuous reincarnations of the soul?
Yeah.
Is that your belief?
Well, reincarnation is an essential part of this. That mm-hmm. it's because you can come back time and time again that your soul grows. And that's really what explains such huge differences between human beings. And
yes.
Why two people can see the world so very differently.
Mm-hmm.
It's really down to the age of their soul and the experience that their souls have had.
Yeah, you say that in the beginning of the book.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. It's the different levels and ages of the soul. And so if your soul has been here many times, does that mean you're necessarily smarter than other people or not?
No, it has nothing to do with intelligence.
It doesn't. What does it have something to do with?
It has to do with a greater awareness that we're all connected.
Mm.
That's the biggest sign of an older soul. An awareness that there's really not much or not any difference between, you know, people of different beliefs or skin color or whatever.
Uh-huh. And so let's start with a level one soul. What would be some of the characteristics of a level one soul?
Well, level one souls are just, they're kind of new to the world. They're just getting used to being here. So there's a little bit of anxiety and fear about mm-hmm. the place. It's like walking into a party where everybody knows everyone else mm-hmm. and they've all got there before you. So you're kind of, you're feeling not quite certain how to behave. And then as the soul ages and it gets into two and three, it's the certain lessons become appropriate for souls of that experience.
Okay, so you say the level one soul, in their first few lives, level one souls deliberately avoid having to deal with the modern world. They feel apprehensive about being on a planet where everyone seems to know the rules but them. They usually choose to live in small communities where they can avoid complexity. In simple cultures, these novice souls learn to take their first steps, often through learning trades or skills that will support them. The level one soul needs simplicity, is what you say.
Absolutely.
Is easily overwhelmed by technology and complexity. You wouldn't take a 3-year-old from a remote farm in Idaho, place it on the corner of 14th and 3rd in downtown Manhattan, and expect it to know how to safely cross the street, is what you say. nor can you transport a level one soul from the simplicity of an isolated village and expect that soul to fit into the rough and tumble of corporate life on Wall Street. Level one souls create rules and rituals that give them a sense of security. It's all a part of learning what it is to be human. Okay?
Yeah.
Good?
That's absolutely.
Well, good, because you wrote it.
I think we're all agreed on that then.
So just because you're on a level one, how many lifetimes does it take a soul to climb to the next level?
It could be 5 or 10, some, you know, somewhere.
You could be at level one for a long time.
Yeah, a few lifetimes. Yeah.
And the reason you remain at level one is because you didn't learn what you're supposed to learn?
No. It's not about being stuck. I mean, there are just lessons that are appropriate for souls at different stages.
Okay. I found it interesting when you were talking about different people. Let's talk about level five souls, for example.
Okay.
Let's talk about level five and what that means. You say that the level five souls are exciting, dynamic, always striving to push things forward. If it weren't for them, we'd probably all still be traveling my horse and buggy. Or cart, you say. Level five souls fully embrace the world. In fact, they believe it's theirs for the taking. The uncertainty of younger soul ages is replaced by a feeling of self-assurance. They roam the world with confidence, determined to make their mark, their fortune in equal measure as they investigate. The advantage is exploration. And some of the risks of being a level five soul are exploitation. And you say most of the world's leaders were level five souls.
Yeah. This exploration, this pushing outwards, it has to do with power. And, you know, it's really important for souls to learn about this and learn about running things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this country is run at the moment by predominantly level five souls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. May not be for long. You never know.
Yeah, that could all change.
Level four soul, if I may go back. By the time the soul graduates to level four, it's begun to lose much of the awkwardness and discomfort it once felt so acutely. It starts to get much more involved in the running of things, like a little kid trying to join in a game. Didn't you say Mother Teresa was a level four soul?
You know, there's a typo in the book, I think. Somewhere it says level 10. She's level three, I believe.
Level three?
Yeah. And I made that point to just because there's a tendency for people to think old soul good, young soul bad, you know, and for old souls to look down their noses at younger souls. And I wanted to make the point that younger souls can do great things in the world. You can still, you know, there's any soul age, anyone of any soul age can choose whether to do good with their lives or not.
Okay, so the instruction is about determining your soul's age, your soul's type, what your soul's mission is.
Yeah.
What your soul's talent.
Talents, a huge part of it.
Yeah, all very exciting stuff. It's called the instruction, living the life your soul intended. We've got to go, but Ainsley will be back, and we're going to talk about what soul level I am to see if his spirit guides agree with me. Nothing like getting into an argument with some spirit guides.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so disagreement. Thanks for joining us here on Oprah and Friends XM 156. Thank you, Ainsley MacLeod.
Thank you very much, Oprah.
I hope you enjoyed this edition of our Soul Series. These are some of my favorite conversations.
To hear more, sign up for a free 30-day XM Radio trial by going to www.xmradio.com/Oprah.